Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The world's breath has been collectively held. Will the United States offensively and in conjunction with Israel bomb Iran? And what does that mean? What does it mean for the United States, for the Mideast, and for the state of global affairs? We have just the man to discuss this with us. His name is Elon Berman. He's with the American Foreign Policy Council, senior vice president there. He is an expert on regional security in the Mideast, Central Asia, as well as the Russian Federation. He has edited more books than I could read if I had a whole week, and I read fast. He's also written a number of books, including Tehran Rising, Iran's Challenge to the United States, as well as other books specifically on this region. Welcome to the program, Mr. Berman. It's a pleasure to have you.
Happy to be here.
Over the last 24-plus-ish hours, Donald Trump has repeatedly said that Iran must offer unconditional surrender. There has been threats. He has said, we know where the Ayatollah is and we could kill him if we want. We're not going to now, but maybe that changes. The Ayatollah has responded on Iranian television and said this, quote, intelligent people who know Iran, the nation and the history of Iran will never speak to this language in the language of threats, because the Iranian nation cannot be surrendered. The Americans should know that any U.S. military invention will undoubtedly be accompanied by irreparable damage. Let's start there. What is the current state of play? As of days ago, Donald Trump had a fairly isolationist view of this, was saying basically this is Iran and Israel's war. Why? Where did the light switch flip come from? Why are we in this moment? What is the moment? Why did he change tack? What's going on here?
Right. So first of all, there's a lot here, and so it requires a little bit of unpacking. But before I do, the caveat attaches, right? Things are moving so fast that by the end of our conversation, things may be different. But, you know, as the situation stands right now, I think it's necessary to understand sort of how we got here. So the path to this is actually something like two decades old. My first book on Iran, right? Shameless self-promotion. It's called Tehran Rising. I'm not sure it's all still relevant, but some of it is, included a fairly extensive at that time assessment of what Israel could do to Iran's nuclear program, because it's so scattered, so hardened, so complex, so distributed. So I have been thinking about this for a long time, and the Israelis have been thinking about this for even longer. The reason we're at this juncture now is because Israel saw a whole bunch of really alarming indicators that the Iranians were accelerating on a couple of things. They were accelerating on their enrichment, the amount of for your listeners to think strategically about uranium enrichment. What you're actually talking about is you're talking about spinning, kind of like a washing machine, spinning a large amount of low enriched uranium, and you spin out the impurities and you're left with less stuff, but more of what you want. So this is what they talk about when they talk about Iran enriching to higher and higher grade. So the Israelis saw, first of all, signs that the Iranians were moving ahead in terms of enrichment. They saw signs that they were moving ahead in terms of weaponization, because you have to take that uranium and weaponize it, miniaturize it, put it on a missile to be able to fire it, to have that nuclear weapon. And that they were also in tandem accelerating their work on ballistic missiles, right? So those three things sort of combined to an Israeli assessment that time was running out. We've spent two decades looking at diplomacy. This is really not the time. Their complicating factor up until very, very recently was we now have a president who the expectation was he would put maximum pressure back on Iran. But at least for a few weeks, he was dallying with the notion of negotiating a deal with the Iranian regime. And so as long as he was negotiating, the Israeli understanding was there's a red light. We can't do anything. I think that began to change because the administration became more and more aware of the fact that the Iranians were slow rolling the negotiations. They weren't really negotiating in good faith. They weren't giving really serious, meaningful concessions. And so all of a sudden, the Israelis saw this narrow window of opportunity. So that's how we got to last week. That's how we got to what the Israelis are carrying at. Now, from then until now, it feels like a lifetime, but it's only been like 5 days or so. What the Israelis are trying to do is a few things, right? They're trying to they're beginning to dismantle the Iranian nuclear program. They haven't hit all the nuclear sites. Iran has a very complicated infrastructure that spans the whole country, but they've hit quite a bunch. They've hit a bunch of Iranian ballistic missile launchers. The reason why that's important is because Iran has a lot of ballistic missiles, but in order to fire them, it needs launchers, and it has less launchers. So the less it has, the less it can fire at Israel. That's why you're seeing what we saw over the weekend were pretty significant salvos of Iranian missiles headed towards Israel. What you're seeing now is much more modest. That's a function of the fact that they're running out of stuff, and they're running out of the stuff to fire the stuff. So this is really, everything is sort of moving in the direction that the Israelis want. They're also, you know, targeted and eliminated the military chain of command in terms of the Iranian military, the Iranian Air Force. And so militarily, everything is, from the Israeli perspective, is working well. The real $64,000 question is, politically, what's the end state here? The Israelis have not made any indication. They've made some statements, but they really haven't done anything material to say, you know, we want, you know, our intention is to change the regime and to topple the regime. That's not the play. But what they want to do is they want to stay within the confines of what the president, they think the president has authorized them to do, which is to erode and degrade the Iranian nuclear threat. Now, over here in Washington, the administration is watching what the Israelis are doing. Nothing succeeds like success. And the further the Israelis go, the more the president has understood that this could be the moment to really pull apart the Iranian nuclear program in a lasting fashion. That's why, you know, he knows the Israelis have the upper hand. He knows by extension he has the upper hand. That's why he's issuing these maximalist demands. And that's why if the Iranians don't play this right, we could end up in a situation where the United States provides the munition, the ordnance necessary for the Israelis to really get at the hardened, buried facilities that would really dismantle Iran's nuclear program for good.
Folks, if you're just joining us, that is Mr. Ilan Berman of the American Foreign Policy Council. You can read more about their work and analysis at the www.afpc.org. That's afpc.org. We're getting reports from the Wall Street Journal within the last 20 minutes. As you said, the caveat is things are changing as you and I are speaking. Ilan, within the last 20 minutes from the Wall Street Journal reporting that Donald Trump has approved an attack on Iran, but has not given the final order yet. And I also want to reference this. A headline in Haaretz, one of the major papers in Israel this morning, read this: taco syndrome could tempt Trump to ride the wave of Israel's success and join the war against Iran. Precisely the point that you just made, Mr. Berman. And the secondary headline said this: Israel cannot eliminate the Iranian nuclear program on its own and is reliant on a capricious American president with a tendency to capitulate. One of the specific elements of the Iranian nuclear program that folks refer to is this Fordo bunker, this very deep, it's literally under a mountain. As I understand things, the United States is the only nation on Earth aligned with Israel that has the ordnance capacity to actually attack successfully this Fordo bunker. These are 30,000-pound bombs that require B-2 Spirit stealth bombers to drop them. They can penetrate up to 250 feet. They're made of this alloy, which is what adds the weight that allows them to get down without the detonation occurring. Again, it allows it to penetrate before it detonates. Is this what we're looking at? This kind of really incredible use of American force? Otherwise, I don't know what strike the Wall Street Journal would be talking about, if not that.
No, so I think it's that, and right. So all the caveats attach. Haaretz is a very liberal paper in Israel, and so they're advisedly not fans of the American president, and they sort of, you know, the language I think reflects that. But in the broad strokes, I think they're correct. What they're talking about is an American direct strike, like the Wall Street Journal seems to suggest, a direct strike on Fordo using B-2 bombers dropping these massive ordnance penetrators to get at this hardened facility, which is literally built into a mountain, or to, at the very least, transfer the massive ordnance penetrator to Israeli stock so the Israelis can do it. I think there are other options, though. For example, you know, I could be proven wrong. I could be proven wrong by the end of your show. But my sense is that the president's strategy is still escalate to de-escalate. So he is, you know, moving assets into theater. He has made the decision, but he's not yet pulled the trigger. I think that is a sign of intent on his part, you know, to tell the Iranians that he's serious. I think if the Iranians, advisedly, are very bad at reading the Trump administration's messaging. They don't speak in the way that
they
the Trump administration
speak Trump. Rules. Who does?
They don't speak. No. But listen, when the president says complete surrender, you can say never, or you can say no, but we can offer XYZ, right? There's very different conversations. Yeah. And I think all that Trump is looking for is that second conversation. The Iranians are, because of national pride, because of, you know, perhaps incorrect political assessments, because the hallmark of authoritarian regimes is you never get promoted by telling the boss things he doesn't want to hear. And so the supreme leader may think he's in a better and a more favorable position than he actually is. You know, who knows? But the reality is that I think the Iranian regime is playing this incorrectly. And the longer it plays it incorrectly, the higher the likelihood that America will do this itself. I still think, though, right, on balance, that the Trump administration's preferred strategy is to get the Iranians chastened, bruised, bloodied, to come back to the table and really make meaningful concessions. That way, the president has a political win. He could say he ended the conflict. He has something on paper that's robust, far better than the 2015 nuclear deal that he can take to Congress and sell. So I think that's still the preference, but that may change over time.
Folks, we are talking with Ilan Berman of the American Foreign Policy Council about the evolving situation, literally minute by minute, as our discussion is continuing. You can find Ilan's work as well as all of the great work of the AFPC at afpc.org. We got to take care of a little bit of business. When we come back, what I want to ask Mr. Berman is this. When the Ayatollah says any U.S. military intervention will be accompanied by irreparable damage, what might that mean? Or is Iran so weakened and so isolated that is basically all bark and no bite? It matters for each and every one of us, especially those families that have children serving in our military. Stay with us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.